Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, and anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Kate picks you up in the
enjoying the warmer weather.
Yeah, today it was up in the 80s over here on the res, so people was running around half dressed, including myself, and enjoying it. Seemed like, you know, not so long ago we was really barely hanging in there, you know, without many people without propane, even with a wood stove, man. They charge a lot of money for firewood, so hell, man, I burn anything. If it's made of wood, it's going in the fire, you know. Anyway, people can be safe with their coffee tables and lamp posts and whatever now, cause, you know. And there looks like some things are kind of opening up a little bit from this COVID, so we'll see how things are going. I see somebody spell my name Juan Blue. You know, anyway, it looks like things are getting more warmer and laid back a little bit, but along with all this, people are speeding more, people are out more. I mean, I hear all night long cars flying back and forth. Or before I go to bed anyway, there's a lot of cars out coming from Kilgore, Nebraska. So the bar must be really in business. You know, our people have to go to Kilgore to get booze. So it's kind of like today's Saturday and Fridays, you got to watch out, you know. So it's really important to be safe out there. The other thing I'm noticing, and probably everybody else's, is all the gun violence. You know, there's a lot of gun violence out there. And, you know, yeah, people, you know, when you mention this, they act like you're on the government side. When you talk against guns, they say, oh, that you're on the government side. Shit, I ain't even on the government side. I'm against what the government does. The government is the one who allows all these idiots out there to have guns, all these weak powder puffs having guns. As soon as they get a gun, they grow a beard and get a chest and looking for an opportunity to use it. And that's why they have gun violence. I mean, you go to countries where it's hard to have weapons. The murder rate is totally different. In this country, the murder rate is really high. With the police are killing a lot of people because the police are on a different mindset. They think they got a right to kill people. They leave in the morning thinking they got a right to kill people. So they wait for that chance. And they don't care. They're killing, you know, 13, 15-year-old kids. And, you know, they shouldn't have a gun, these cops. Maybe don't defund the police. Take their damn guns from them. And explain to them cops that if you kill somebody, you're going to go to jail too. You know? And they'll quit that stuff. Five cops beat up a 72-year-old lady. Didn't get the details of it, but they beat the 72-year-old lady up in Colorado, a white lady. They beat her up and broke her collarbone and made fun of the sound that it made when they broke the collarbone. You know? Well, from what I understand, the cops are got fired or whatever. But But, you know, the thing about it is cops, they beat people up and make fun of it, you know. I mean, they probably got their jollies off of beating my ass, you know. I could hear some of the happiness they're having when I was young and they was kicking me around and stuff, you know. But at least I survived it. They didn't gun me down in an alley or nothing, so I could be thankful for that, because how, when I seen a cop, I'll run. Every kid runs when they see a cop, you know. It's common sense. If you don't run from a cop, you ain't got common sense, you know. Anyway, so we all run from cops, you know. And for some reason, in these modern times, these cops are using their guns. Back when I was young, you very, very rarely heard about a cop shooting somebody and killing them, you know. Very rarely. But in these modern times, these young cops are out there to kill people. And not just cops. There's a lot of young people out there killing people. Like some young white guy killed a Arab guy. Or, you know, I don't know if he had an Arab name. But killed him because the kid was listening to rap music. And he said people that listen to rap music are dangerous people, so that's why he killed them, you know. And that's his mentality, a pure white boy, you know. Yeah, I don't like that rap music, but, you know, I just plug my ears up and go. Hey, I ain't lying. These cars coming from Kilgore talking about that music, you can feel that bass, boom, 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 coming way down the road, you know, and these people are sitting in there listening to that stuff. Man, you know, if you're listening to something that loud, how the hell you keep an eye on what's going on outside of the car? But they come too, but not just them, you know. I see, like, there's one car in particular, it's got to be the same one. He sounds like an airplane, I'm telling you. You sound like he's an airplane on the runway. Same sound as that plane taking off, and he passes by, you know. But they got a lot of young people out there with guns right now, and a bunch of idiots with guns. Anybody can get a gun as long as you've never been in trouble before. You see, that's the key. If you've never been in trouble before, you can go in a store and just buy guns, you know? Well, these people that are buying these guns, these guys that never been in trouble are a bunch of dorks and stuff like that. Suddenly they got a gun. Wow, man. And some of them got big, expensive guns, you know, and rifles and AR-15s and assault weapons and stuff like that. And they start collecting them. Then they get in their own group, you know, where they all show off their weapons. And then they start growing a beard and start, you know, dressing like that. And, you know, they change. It's like a guy starts riding a motorcycle, you know. You see a 50-year-old guy never rode a motorcycle in his life. Suddenly gets a motorcycle, and he used to have short hair and all that stuff and worked, and, you know, suddenly gets a motorcycle. Now he got some earrings on his ears. He's got growing a beard. He's got tattoos, and, you know, and starts dressing like them, you know. Strange people. And then, you know, like I said, packing guns and all of that. Well, this country has too many guns out there, you know, and they make it legal for these idiots to have all these guns. I tell you what, by not having a gun, you think twice about how to handle a situation, you know. If you don't have a gun, the chances of you killing somebody is less. And the more intelligence you use in walking through life, you say, I better not go there. I might get shot, so you don't go there. Or I better not hang out over here. I might get some shit, you know. You use your head more when you don't have a gun. But if you have a gun, oh, man, I ain't scared of nothing. They start hanging out places, and next thing you know, like a couple years ago, some guy had a gun walking down the street with a gun at a protest. So another protester seen him and thought he was aiming at him, so he pulled out a gun and killed this guy. He was in a car, you know, and then shot somebody else and then hauled ass and said, wow, since I'm shooting, I might as well shoot some more, you know. But when you have a gun, that's the kind of mentality you have. And mostly, you know, like white people, you know. Indian, I mean, we like guns. But we don't care what kind of gun it is, as long as they can take down a deer, you know. I mean, we'll go with a 22 out there, 22 long, and try to shoot deer, you know, and get lucky, you know, get a good shot. But Indians ain't out there trying to, you know, unless they're a working Indian, work for the BIA or got money. And reads a lot of books and watches a lot of TV and wants to join in on all that gun madness, you know, then of course they're going to get involved in it. But normal Lakota, they don't care what kind of gun they have as long as they can shoot a deer, because that's on their brain. We don't have a lot of murders. We do have murders, though. And a lot of the murders that had happened was usually from stabbing or getting beat up, you know. I mean, but once in a great while, there's a gun murder or something. But that's, you know, usually people getting high and buzzed up and everything. So it's totally, I call it American crime. Even though it's on an Indian reservation and an Indian doing it, it's still an American crime because they're imitating what they see, you know. They're imitating the habits of American people, you know, like robbing, you know. If you've never seen nobody rob or go, you know, rob banks and stuff like that, you don't know nothing about it. You don't go there. But when you're in a society or you witness stuff, you say, man, I'm going to give that a shot, you know. I'm speaking firsthand here. And that's what happens, you know. And then same way with guns. You see, you're in an environment where some people have guns and then they pass them around. They need money, or you're trading something. Here, I'll give you this gun for that. You know, I don't have money, but I'll buy that car. I'll give you this gun and something else, you know. And pretty soon you end up with guns, you know. You don't get them at the store. But long story short, the guns is what's causing all these murders. I mean, you look on the news, and almost every other news thing is about some murder, you know. Dante Wright's death, you know. Some lady in I was just trying to look at scenes. I ran across a bunch of them, you know. You know, with people with guns. Nigeria kidnapped, kingpin killed, or that's, I guess that's in Nigeria. teen daughter of New Jersey anti-violence activists abducted and killed in South Carolina. You know? Here's another one. Some guy, the biggest wildfire in California last year or something. It started. The guy killed a girl. So to cover up the crime, he started a fire to burn her up. And here, that was the biggest fire in California. You know, you see nothing but violence. You know, it's just violence everywhere. And you can keep, you can just look at the news and you're going to see all kinds of stuff, you know, about gun violence, you know. And even in Fort Hood or something down there, they're always finding people dead because they got a young people having guns and stuff. Yeah, you can just look on the news. There's all kinds of gun violence. And like the other day, some guy drove around in L.A. shooting people, killing people. You know, some guy killed this is the cops killing a guy. They pinned him to a ground. He was the cops. He was just drunk and disorderly. So he gets a death sentence for drunk and disorderly. And the other thing I noticed, like when George Floyd was going to trial, and everybody talked about it, you know. Right now they have news shows, people talking about how bad of a guy George Floyd was, and the cops got convicted unjustly and all that. Here's the point. This country, what they do is they have a court system. And not too many people can get the death sentence with the court. You have to commit a bad crime to get the death sentence. But these cops suddenly give you a death sentence. George Floyd, did he deserve a death sentence because he passed a $20 bill because he used drugs? You know, because he had past record for getting high and using drugs and whatever, you know, petty theft and stuff. It ain't the cop's job to hold court in the streets. When they hold court in the streets, they're giving you a death sentence. You know, they're treating you like they're the law, and they give you a death sentence. They treat me like they're judge and a jury. And the whole country approves it. Like the young kid they chased down the alley in Chicago. Told him put his hands up. So they put his hands up. The cops shot him. They ran over there and said, "You all right, boy?" You know? And then they found a gun down the fence while they said he threw it. You know, I think they threw it there. You know, these cops run around ready to cover their ass. I'm sure they have extra guns they haul around with them in case they want to kill somebody. They can throw that gun there and say they had a gun. I know they do that with drugs. They pack drugs and they plant drugs on people. I know that. And, you know, like one guy had a cell phone to his head. He was talking on the cell phone, or they said a cordless phone. And the cop said he was holding a gun to his head. So the guy, that gave the cop the excuse to pull on him. And then I guess when he took the phone off of his ear, then the cop said, "Yeah, he pointed the gun at me. It was a phone." Anyway, we could talk about this stuff all day long about this, you know. Then they have these cops. They call them wandering cops. they get kicked out, fired from one police department, and they go to another police department. My sister, or I hate to, you know, talk about my own personal life, but was almost raped by a cop. And the cop had her in the back seat, and some neighbors seen they heard all this noise coming out, and they seen a cop car. So they called the cops, and the cops showed up, and that cop, he was trying to rape, you know? So what he did, when the cops came, he said, "I'm glad he made it. She was giving me a hard time." Anyway, he put a little tiny baggie of dope, heroin or something, I forget, in her, on her possession. So they had her. I mean, they busted her for drugs and this and that, you know? And, but what happened was that baggie that he put in her, there just happened to be that cop was under investigation for about 10 other similar events. And that baggie that he used is the same exact baggie that he used in different things, rapes and stuff like that. Anyway, long story short, he was up shit creek. This is first page news in Riverside, California, you know. And I mean, there's more to the story. I don't want to get into it because, you know, I was wishing that she would sue him or something. But, you know, you can't tell people, you don't know what I'm going through. Anyway, the problem is nobody wanted to testify on this cop, so he got away with it. The other six women, they were hookers, you know, and they had other things going on. And my sister, of course, she's an Indian Lakota woman. She, no one believes her. But this Indian cop that was investigating this was trying to get them all to talk. But none of them wanted to go with that, you know, because they were all, some of them were Mexican indigenous women and a couple blacks, and they didn't want to get involved with the cops. You know, you get involved with the cops and the people start saying you're a rat, and you live in that kind of a world down there in California, man, you don't want to have a rat jacket. So this cop gets away with it, but they fired him. Right away, they hired him at another police station, you know, another city away. Anyway, that happens. They said there was 30,172 cops that got different jobs after they got fired for gun charges, gun violence, planting drugs, beating people up, whatever, sexual crimes and all that. But these cops, they get off of one job and they go to another job, you know, and that's what happens to them. It's really, actually, it's a dangerous world out there with the cops, you know. They can do what they want. They'll get another job, even if they're guilty as two left shoes. Excuse me, I'm drinking some wine right now while I'm talking. Anyway, that's how it is out there, you know. And I heard some Indians on the, you know, Facebook. Facebook's pretty interesting sometimes because you see all kinds of people on there. And I stay out of the white friends and looking into their stuff, you know. Some of them you see they're having holidays, drinking beer, whiskey, and, you know, they're in Hawaii, they're in someplace, you know. I mean, you know, and then, but they got, I scope out some of these Indian pages, you know, and some of them are really down to earth, you know. They are proud to show what they're cooking, you know. They're cooking and, you know, showing off their family, their tacosas, their, you know, their family and everything. And a lot of them are like that. I like those kind, you know. They're always showing pictures of their family and their way of life. And then you see the other ones, you know. Then you see the ones that think they're American. And I seen one woman, she had on her post, she said, you know, our freedom's at stake. She's an Indian, Native woman, and she says, our freedom's at stake in this country. She don't call 500 years of them coming over, taking our freedom away? Murdering, genocide, the whole nine yards, and she's just barely saying our freedom's at stake. What it is she's an American. And now the Americans are over there talking about gun rights, First Amendment rights, Second Amendment rights, et cetera, American rights. And they think their freedoms are being tampered with. You know, because they're so Americanized, so colonized, suddenly they feel threatened. I mean, I have family members like this, you know, I'm serious. You know, I got family members like this. They don't see racism till it happens to them. They don't realize that they come from a people who lost their freedom, who lost their land, who lost everything, and have an invader in charge of what they do. They don't see it because they want to call themselves American like the invader. Even black people, even every other race of people. Yeah, man, I'm American. How, you ain't no damn American. There is no such thing as, that's like saying, I'm Disneyland, you know? I'm Disneyland. I'm Donald Duck, you know? Same thing, made up, you know? I'm Batman and Robin, man, you know? I come from, what's that place? Metropolis or something, you know? It's all made up. It's a big comic book deal. 1776, making, becoming made up a country. They're just a bunch of loose wired Washichu that banded together, ran off Indians in their territory, killing them and all that, banded together, said, we need to get together and fight these savage Indians. And, our rights are being taken away from us by the king and queen of Spain and England or wherever they're from, you know. So we need to band together and let's make this club. Let's call it the American Club. Matter of fact, since we got this land, let's call this land America too, you know. And while we're at it, let's make our own money. Let's print us some money. And, we'll all have ID cards saying we're American. Yeah, let's do that. That's what happened. You know, why would we want to be called Americans when we was here way before there was ever an America and we already had our own societies, we already had our own culture, we already had our own race, our own languages and everything. Why do we want to change course midstream and start calling ourselves American? Why? I mean, why? Just because it's the more elite thing to do, you know, it, because it makes you classy, feel classy. I'm an American, you know. I can do this and that. I got rights. See my ID card? Look at my ID card, you know. It's got a bald eagle on it, you know. That's how they are. So you look on Facebook and you watch. And then if you say something, man, they'll gang on you, these American Indians, these ones, you know. They'll gang up on you, you know. And you got to join them. And it's just like what I was saying. Okay, everybody's proud Deb Hollins, Secretary of Interior. Okay, she's made statements and all that, what she's going to do for the Indians. Okay, so everybody's, you know, saying, oh, yeah, man, blah, blah, blah. And then other Indians that join in, whatever. But look at it. North Korea just got threatened by Biden. Biden was threatening them. Biden also threatened Iran. Biden also threatened Venezuela. Biden also threatened Russia. And Biden also is threatening China. So he's doing all that. So in order for him to be able to do that, he has to have support. So to show support, he has to make it look like he's a good guy and he's got Indians on his side. He's got black people on his side. He's got transgender people on his side. And he's got pot people on his side. That's what he does. So Deb Holland and all these indigenous people of color that are with the Americans, they have to raise their hand for that action. You understand what I mean? In other words, don't worry, boss, I'm with you. You want to bomb Venezuela? I'm Deb Holland, I'm with you. You want to bomb Russia? I'm with you. You know, that's their attitude. Nobody sees that side. And when the American drops a bomb, they have to get permission from somebody, from their own peers to do it. So who's easier to get permission from? The ones they gave a job to. Man, I'm helping you out. You better sign in on this. Raise your hand because I'm going to go bomb these people. I'm going to go take some more land. Now you got to sign up for me. So is it worth it for an Indian to represent an Indian, all of us, to represent all of us and make us look like we all support them bombing somebody else, them stealing from somebody else, them attacking, threatening people? Of course, North Korea is wild, they say, but have you ever been there? Dennis Rodman was there, and he said it's pretty damn cool over there. You know, should we believe Dennis Rodman? You know, there are some other people went over there. They said, yeah, that Kim Ju-ja, whatever his name is, he's cool, you know. You know, if you go to North Korea and you're not a white person, if you're a person, they probably going to treat you damn good over there. We don't know how they treat people. We only hear what they say. It's like they tell us who our enemies are. They said Saddam Hussein's our enemy. Gaddafi's our enemy. Arafat's our enemy. They tell us this. So if you've got an American mind, oh, yeah, and Russia's your enemy, and China's your enemy. They tell all of you that. They feed you the information why they are the enemy. They feed it to you, and you read it. You hear it. But Osama bin Laden, they blaming him for 9/11. How do we know he did that? He wasn't there. Saddam Hussein, the other side of the story, they're saying Saddam Hussein kept that place in peace. You know, the Americans helped him be victorious over Iran when they fought Iran. And they also used barrel bombs and chemical warfare. The Americans helped them do this stuff. So all this stuff going on in the country, it's like when Iran was taking a whole tanker full of fuel and oil to Venezuela to help the Venezuelan people. The Americans went over and stole the whole ship. That's robbery, armed robbery with a warship. They went and stole this whole ship, took it, and then say, oh, well, we're going to use the money to fight against them, you know. Any way you look at it, that's Stephen, you know. So who was in on that? Who was in on it is the people that support the president, that support the government, that are in the government. If it's indigenous, black people, whatever. It's like Kamala Harris. When she was attorney general for California, man, she was locking people up for pot, and she was using it. She was using pot. You know, she is hiding evidence to keep a guy on death row, because she didn't want to look like she made a mistake. So she, you know, she was doing that. And I looked back when Obama, after Obama did 8 years and came back, but I was watching a video of a native singer. And he said, yeah, I was really happy that Obama got elected. This was a interview he did right after Obama got elected. He said, yeah, I know he's going to do good for our people and all that. Now, the aftermath of Obama, did he do us any good? The same story like all the rest of them did. Are we any better? I mean, somebody needs to show me where Obama really was better. He had a better looking smile. His woman was involved in things of, you know, commendable things, but even her, they was all against letting out Leonard Peltier. And they threw everybody under the bus, the water protectors, Standing Rock, a whole lot of stuff. Like Biden, he's going to turn on all his campaign stuff, and immigration ain't going to be no better. Maybe he might be a little better, but in 4 years, they'll have somebody else there, or 8 years. Obama lasted 8 years. In 8 years, what the hell did he do? You know, we made a video, Obama, you're our last hope. Let Leonard Peltier out. So is it doing us any good to continue that for the government? You know, I mean, Leonard Peltier's sitting in there pretty old now and been in there for a long time. You know? And people are saying, let him out because he's unhealthy. Let him out. They're giving every proper justification to Leonard Peltier. Let him out. Why don't Biden just let him out? How hard is it to let somebody out? It took him only one day to start a war with Iraq, to bomb Iraq for a baloney accusation saying they had weapons of mass destruction and didn't have nothing. Took them one day. Put on a performance in front of United Nations and went and bombed Iraq, bombed Afghanistan. And Obama was bombing Pakistan, which there was no war with Pakistan. You know, Obama was doing that. So the aftermath of all this stuff, what do we get for joining in on the American? This singer that our Native American performer they were interviewing, yeah, he had big hopes of, you know, he had a voice at this time. He had an opportunity, you know. But even him, 8 years later, he was shooting for it to be a rock star. Well, he ain't no rock star today, you know. All his plans, none of that worked. All of my plans didn't work, too. I'm not saying I'm not the only one. I wasn't trying to be a rock star. I just like playing music, you know. I mean, I play for free, you know. Like somebody said, you sell yourself cheap. I don't sell myself cheap. You know, I don't sell myself cheap. How much pain is it for me to play guitar or piano or play a saxophone? How much pain is it? See, I enjoy it. What? You know? I'm supposed to, you know, I never got into that bag. So, yeah, of course, you know, I'm nobody, you know. I'm nobody because, anyway, that's how it is. So, I trip out on how our society is. It's going to be that way. You get happy. Oh, let's get rid of Trump. We got Biden now. Now Biden's on the same. He said he's going to repair the wall that Trump didn't fix, you know. And the other day they had that guy on the he was running for president, that guy. You know, and he has a big family, big Christian morals and all of that, you know. And he said there was no America. There was nobody here before they came. Rick Santorum, yeah, that's his name. He said there was nothing over here when they showed up. He said, we had Indians, blah, blah, blah. He said, we had Indians over here, but what have they done for American culture? We didn't do nothing for American culture. We kept our own culture, punk. That's what happened, you know. This guy said, the American is the only people that came over and made something out of nothing. You know, when you go in and you're a broke ass person, and all of a sudden you go out and start killing people and taking money and robbing and murdering people and get rich, you could say the same thing. Man, I started from scratch and look at me today, man. You know, we're the only people with Christian morals. He's selling the Christian values of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he's selling these values of how the Americans are the only ones that came over here and spread the word. And his parents came from Italy. You know, real boat people. You know, they came from Italy. His, I guess his mom was born in 1918. His dad was born in 1923 or something like that. And His dad came from Riva Trentino, Italy. I'm trying to say it Italian style. Riva Trentino, Italy, around 1930, you know? You know, he's an anchor baby, you know? But grew up thinking he's American. He's Italian, but right away changed culture midstream. Now he's American. He's not Italian no more. He's American, you know? Same way with the rest of them. They're not Irish no more. They're American. They're not British no more. They're American. They're not German no more. They're American. They're not French no more. They're American. You know, they're not black no more. They're American. They're not Mexican no more. They're American. And there's even some Lakota that not Lakota no more. They're American. You see what I'm saying? Anyway, I'm going to get ready and, you know, some people about taking a shot. I know a lot of our people have spoke about, taking shots, you know, taking your COVID shots anyway. And there's people that's, let me see. Anyway, I was just reading some. I'm sorry anyway, long story short, I was reading about this COVID. A lot of people are saying the COVID shot, and some of the ones, they're turning out no good, so they're having to redo them again, you know? So I was just trying to look into that. So some of you, I don't know, you know? I guess it's better safe than to be sorry or whatever. I don't know what to tell you because a lot of my family members took the shot and they're a threat. They feel like everything's cool and they're feeling like it's going to be all right. And most people that took the shot are walking around satisfied that they're not going to catch COVID. Well, this message that I get from someone I trust says, nah, people are still catching COVID even after the shot. I don't look at this person as a gossiper because I never seen them do that, you know. But not just her, there's a lot of people saying this stuff. Advice right now, at this time, is just, you know, if you got the shot, you took the shot, well, stay. But don't think that it's going to help you. You better keep away from people and from activities, you know, and pray and you know, try to take some. If you have native peshuta, take it. You know, that's what I do. And I hope that you're all right. I'm not going to tell you not to take the shot, but I'm telling you the word out there is don't believe in it. Go ahead and do it if it makes you happy. But you know, I see that even medicine man, like one medicine man said, if you ain't took the shot, don't come to my Sundance. Wow, you know? I mean, what the hell? What's going on? Our medicine man are even going, in other words, before you come to my Sundance, you better have a permission slip from the white man for us to review, and we'll let you in our Sundance. That's how it's getting. That's how it, you know? So, you know, I don't know, man. Anyway, one more thing. I'm going to open up some lines right now. They're wondering how a mountain lion ended up in Texas in a national park. I mean, can you figure why the hell would a mountain lion show up in Texas? Don't he know that there's a border? Don't he know that that's Texas? Don't he know that? Well, in the mountain lion's brain is Texas showed up on his land. Just like us. Texas showed up on our land. South Dakota showed up on our land. Utah showed up on our land. New York showed up on our land. The U.S. showed up on our land. That's how we see it. With that, let me open up some lines. And now, I don't know who that one is. Way Busy or something. I don't think I'll open up that line. They're probably...
Yay. I heard they were going to deport that mountain lion back to Colorado.
Oh, really? Yeah, probably. And they say a bear ate some woman down there in Durango, Colorado. You know, I mean, you know, if you live out, it's like common sense. We have rattlesnakes around here. Sometimes they're pretty big, show up in the yard. Or we have, you know, we have mountain lions over here. We have a lot of things. We have bobcats. Man, I'm on the ball when I go out, you know. You just don't go strolling down in bear country. You got to be prepared. And then, so what did they do? They went and hunted down a mother bear and her two cubs and killed them to run tests to see if, just to see if they happened to be the ones that killed this woman. You see?
Crying out loud.
Yeah.
Did the test
that's what they did.
Yet?
I don't know. This just happened like yesterday or something.
Like
so, yeah. They said her boyfriend came back. What's that?
Aren't they going to feel stupid when the test results come back and it's wrong bear. Oh, we just killed a whole family for no reason.
Yep, and then later on they
respect the Mother Earth or our brothers and sisters. Yeah, absolutely.
Our find out is that mountain lion that hauled ass to Texas after he did that, you know. you know. But that's how they are. They're wicked to animals. You see the mentality they have for animals? They're barely trying to get over that mentality from us, from thinking we're animals. Barely trying to get over that. They're barely getting over that mentality with the black people because they think we're still animals. You see? And if you're an animal, that's how easy it is for them to kill you. What are you doing? Is that you making all that noise?
Nope.
Oh, anyway, I have Jennifer's line open too. Sound like you're opening some candy or something. Trying to get me started here. You know?
Yeah, she didn't bring any for the rest of the class.
Yeah, it looks like. But Jennifer, your line's open, so I don't know what you've got going on.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There.
Yeah, it was me rattling some paper. Sorry. I didn't know my line was open.
I didn't know if that was a Snickers or what, man. I kind of...
No.
You know?
I have a little paper here I'm picking. I was writing down something.
But yeah, so you know, anyway, that's what they're doing, and when you got, just for Layla, your line's open too, so just keep in mind that our line's open, and don't look at it like it's a phone call, you know. Just, we're doing a show, so don't flush the toilet, you know. Don't cut the cheese, you know. That's a strange sound over the air, you know, when you do that, make that noise. Heard it before. Anyway, so what do you think? Vember's gone. He's back on the res. I think they're probably going to ceremony or something. So, you know, but anyway, wana wahielo. I'm here now, you know, and you're here now, and Jennifer's here, Layla's here, and I don't know, probably we got a lot of listeners out there tuned in right now. There's people listening, and no telling who's listening in, you know, and found out last week that more people tune into us than we realize. A lot of people that disagree with us, but they like listening or something. Or what they do is they listen to us, they disagree with us, and it gives them something to talk about. They go in their little group and talk about how bad we are, how wannabe we are, how fake we are, et cetera, you know. And, you know, but the thing is, you know, I don't have no problem with myself. You know, I don't have no identity problem. You know, I don't BS. You know, I sit here with my chanupa right next to me, you know, my whistle, my drum, all this stuff's right next to me. I ain't going to be telling you no lies, you know, making stuff up. I'm telling you the truth, you know, and, the little things that I talk about are things that's going on in this world, and there you can fact check them. They are the truth. You want to know about that lady that's got eaten by a bear or something? It's on go to Yahoo News, Yahoo Lines, you know. There's all kinds of stuff over there. That says the U.S. is supposed to leave Afghanistan, but they launched airstrike against the Taliban. They said the Taliban made a failed rocket attack on them, so they went and bomb some people in Afghanistan, you know, Biden and his crew, you know. So that's what's going on in this world. Anybody got any comments? You want to change
something about what you said about, you know, guns being a problem? And I was sitting thinking of, as you were talking about that, and I was like, yeah, that is a problem. You know what? The bigger problem, I think, too, is what are children doing with guns? That's what I'd like to know. What is a 13-year-old child doing with a gun?
But did he have
a gun? I saw the video.
First of all,
from the school,
did you?
And that kid did throw that gun.
I didn't see that.
That's when he brought his hands up. So the cop probably thought, and you know, granted, I don't like police much either, but the cop probably thought he still had it in his hand.
If the cop I mean, did the cop see he had a gun when he started chasing them, or was he just chasing them chasing them because he was out at 2 in the morning.
Well,
the point,
they were
the point.
Cars.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you could be right. But I know when
the
I was 13 years
is,
old.
Where are his parents? That's the bigger point.
You know,
where are his
I
parents?
Was out. Listen, Philip, I was out at 3
yeah.
o'clock in the morning. I snuck out. My parents were in bed.
I was too afraid to sneak out.
Not
too afraid,
me.
Too afraid of my dad.
Yeah, I was scared of. I was scared of my dad too. We were scared, but kids do that. You know, we used to sneak out. We were sneaking out when we were 9 and 10 years old. We were sneaking out when we were 6, 7 years old. We were sneaky little creatures. You know, the thing is, that's what kids do. You know, it depends what society you was raised in. In the society I was raised in, when I lived in L.A., in the projects, we used to sneak out in the nighttime and hang out. That was a fun time of the night. That was when you get to see some action, you know. Watch cops beating people up or whatever, you know. You know, that's kids do stuff. I'm not saying that 13-year-old kid wasn't deep in criminal life already, but yet, you know, that cop was chasing him, and that cop knew he had a gun. If he really thought that kid had a gun and was going to use it, he wouldn't have been chasing that kid so bravely. You see, if we say that cop knew he had a gun, then we're saying that cop was brave. That cop was chasing a kid because he knew it was a kid. But at the same time, you're right. Maybe he did see the kid have a gun and throw it and shot him. You know, as you said, you seen him throw the gun. You know what? The cop didn't see him throw the gun. If he threw the gun, then why did he shoot him anyway? You know, regardless, my point is when I was young, they used to have a curfew law. You know, if you were out after 10, the cops seen you, they was going to come and chase you. And even here on the res, we used to have a siren in this town. At 10 o'clock at night, that siren would come on and everybody better be in.
Wow.
But after that siren shut off, that's when we snuck out. Time to sneak out, boys, you know. And but we didn't have guns or none of that stuff. I mean, this kid lived in Chicago. I remember when we lived in L.A., me and my brother Freddie at 11, 12 years old, we made us a zip gun. That's when I made a zip gun, when I was 11, 12 years old. Got a car antenna, cut it, the 22 bullet fit right in it. You know, use a rubber band, put a holder and put a nail to the rubber band and pull the nail back, let it go, and it hits the back of the bullet. The bullet shoots through that car antenna, you know. And then some other guys had sophisticated ones. You know, what I'm saying is, I'm glad at my youth, these cops are different people. These cops today aren't like that. You see, that's my point. These cops today are deadly. Yeah, I ran from lots of cops when I was young, and I got caught a couple times. And, yeah, they roughed me up. These cops handcuffed me to a chair in the police station. They handcuffed my feet to the chair. They handcuffed me in the back to the chair. And then they cleared the break room or whatever that was where I was sitting at, and they took turns sliding me against the wall, crashing against the wall like bowling. They put trash cans out there. They was bowling with me. They was having fun, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, that was wicked. But But that was as far as it went. I mean, by the time my dad come picked me up, you know, they call your parents, they come pick you up at the station, you know. And by the time I didn't go walking out there all beat up, you know. And I told my dad what they did to me. Good, good, you know. You know, that's what he said, you know. But you see, it's different. Nowadays, they're killing you. That 15, 16-year-old girl that had that knife, if you think about it, she was coming close to stabbing that other girl, you know. But still, is that a death sentence? You know, you could say the cop may have had a hard call. But the other point of it is, when that cop, you watch the videos, when he got out of his car, he started putting his hand on his gun right away. These were girls fighting. And the one they slammed, that one girl fell down, then she got away. If he had both his hands free instead of one on the gun, he could have grabbed that girl and took that knife out from her. Now, that would have been brave. You know, being brave is something different. Being brave is way something different, you know? But you're right. What the hell is kids doing out that late? But once again, can we blame the parents? Nowadays, a lot of kids are single parents, you know? And a lot of these young mothers don't even have a chance to see. And here's the other thing what kids do. They bullshit about where they're at. Hey, mom, can I spend the night down Albert's house tonight? You sure it's all right? Yeah, okay, because they liked Albert. In the meantime, Albert's telling his, hey, could I spend the night down Richard's, you know? So me and Albert
I got friends that used to do that.
So girls do that too. So here we are, you know, and here we are running together in the nighttime. And sometimes we had girls with us, you know. We was hanging out in the middle of the night, 1 a.m. with girls, not doing nothing, but we was just having fun. I mean, I remember the cops chased a bunch of us in Rosebud Dam. We jumped off. They used to have a bank there. You could jump into the dam. It was a high bank. It was lots of fun. But we jumped off that bank into the water to get away from the cops. And then they have a platform in the middle of the lake.
Wow.
And we just got on that platform, and them cops knew we were on the platform, but none of them was going to go out there in the water and get us. And they wasn't going to shoot us because they didn't have that mentality. But today, they probably would have shot us, had target practice on that ramp, or shot us in the water. You know? That's what I'm saying. You know, we did a lot of stuff, you know, when we were young. You know, I remember even one time we went to the lake and we were hungry. And you know, I could get in trouble for talk about this, but statute of limitations. I remember me and my cousin went to the lake, and there's some white guys out there fishing. We are swimming, and man, you know how hungry you get when you come out. There's a nice camper truck over there, you know. Shit, we're like some little bears. Went in there, opened that up, bologna sandwiches, sitting out there eating, and there these white guys are in the boat. Hey, get out! They come shooting with over towards the bank in their boat. They had to park their boat on one side and then run all the way to the other side where their camper truck's at. By that time, we circled around them, and their boat was unattended, so we jumped in their boat, started up, and was hauling ass around beach then, you know, racing. And they were really screaming. Then we drove it till they ran out of gas. And they didn't have no cell phones back in them days. So we're some bad kids, Lila Shicha, you know. And we're over there running. And then we're using their boat to dive in the water in the middle where it's deep. And we're having fun out there, you know. Yeah, we was bad kids. And I think about this stuff. And I think about how easily kids and people are getting shot and killed nowadays. And I said, wow, there's some lucky people. It's a different change in the human. These cops will kill you nowadays. Just like we had car chases where cops chased us in cars, you know? You know, because we thought they're going to kill us on the res. They chased us all through Badlands Park. We got on I-90, and pretty soon we had every law enforcement on our ass, and they throw them spikes out by getting close to Rapid City. I forget the name of that town. They got us, and they yanked us out and whipped our ass. You know, not brutally, but, you know, roughed us up pretty good, but nothing compares to what I see they do now, you know?
Yeah.
And
I
that's
think what they're doing now, it probably was the same back then. It's just, you know, people with cell phones now are recording this stuff. And now they're under the microscope.
Could be, but yet, when somebody died under a cop gun, it came on the news back in them days, and it was a very rare thing. Cops kill somebody, you know, robbing a bank, or cops kill somebody, you know, doing this and that, you know. You know, you're right. They didn't have cell phones. Now we're more aware of it. But even if it was the same, but no cell phones, we still would have known they're killing people.
Yeah.
We would have said, because look at all the Indians they killed in the last 10 years. Rapids over here. We know each other. We never seen that many Indians killed in such a short time. It's modern times. They're killing Indians. And back in the day, they wasn't killing you. They was locking you up. They were locking you up and sending you to prison, you know, like they did Leonard Peltier. And, they killed Joel Stuntz. They killed Pedro Bisnet, you know.
Yeah.
And, they killed other Indians, but count the number of Indians back then compared to now. We had a lot of murders that wasn't cops killing the Indians. It was white people killing Indians, you know? We had a lot of that going on. That's what AIM started. And when AIM started in the 60s, the Minneapolis cops were beating up Indians. That's why AIM started. I don't know the history or the record on that. Maybe you don't know or someone else. But at this time, how many Indians got killed at that time? Mostly it was Indians getting beat up, getting busted, harassed on the street for being Indian. And over on our neck of the woods, it was white people killing Indians. It wasn't the cops killing the Indians. It was white people killing Indians. But nowadays, there's cops killing Indians. Like a couple years ago, they killed an Indian who had ran into a church in Gordon. Church is supposed to be sanctuary. They shot him with a taser right at the doorway, and when he went down, they went in and blasted him up with gun and got away with it. And how they got away with it, they said he was going into the church to kill some parishioners. So the parishioners, they told the parishioners that, so the parishioners call the cops a hero for saving them from this Indian when the Indian didn't have a gun or nothing when he went in that door, when he went in there. But they
wow.
said he had one before, you know, but they got away with that, you know. You know, there's been some people Indians hung in them jails, you know, but in these modern times, these cops are killing people. And that's what my point is, you know, like I used to carry a buck knife. I don't carry that no more. When I go to town, if I have to go to Nebraska or go to Winter or take a wild shot and go to Pier, man, I'm scared of these cops. And they're not scared, but I think, you know, this could be my last trip. These cops, you never know. Maybe just even if it's 1 out of 10 cop that's a killer, I might catch that 1 out of 10th one, because that's the kind of luck I got. So I'm thinking when they stop me, you know, I got stopped in Nebraska a few years ago on Highway 20, not even speeding, but the cop spun around and got me. But I did have a expired tag on my car. How could a Nebraska cop know this? But since he got me, he's pointed that out. But when that cop came, I was watching him in the mirror. So I didn't move. And the passengers, I said, sit still. Don't do nothing. Just ignore it. And I put my hand on the steering wheel, you know, so he could know I had both hands up there. And he had his hand on his gun when he got over there and looked, and the other cop went on the other side, and they were checking me out, checking everybody out, you know, where are you coming from, blah, 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 license, insurance, blah, blah, blah. You know, got any drugs, firearms in the car? No. Can we check? I don't care. You know, go ahead, check if you want. And I gave, you know, and pretty soon after a while, they took me out of the car, fixed me down and put me in the cop car, and then checked the other people out, girl and some kids, you know, and let them stay in the car. And they, meantime, they searched. Oh, no, they made them sit out on the side while they checked inside the car and checked around and had a drug dog. Then they let us all in. Then they wrote me a ticket for a tag and let me go. But, man, you know what? I thought they could plant something on me. I made sure they didn't gun me down. I kept my hands up. But what a way to live, huh, is my point. What a way to live. Why should I have all this PTSD just to drive to Valentine, Nebraska, just to go to Winter, South Dakota, just to go to Pierce, South Dakota, or if I'm going to take the big long run to Rapid City, you know? You know? I went to Shadron. That's a Nebraska town, but the shortest way is to get on Highway 20 and go straight into Shadron. But what I did was I went all the way north on the res and hit the back road in Slim Buttes and went all the way down into Shadron the long way. Through the res, and then I come out the back road of Shadron, and I only got like 3 or 4 miles, 5 miles, you know what I mean? And you have to use a lot of strategy if you don't want to get killed, you know? And some of these Indians aren't even using strategy. They're driving around like everything's cool, and I'm glad they feel that way. But when something happens to one of the minions, they're shocked to hell, you know? they don't realize them cops are waiting for us off the res because they, 9 times out of 10, they assume you don't have insurance. That's the biggest way to get money off an Indian, pull them over and even take them to jail, take their car, et cetera. Because they know if they impound our car, the chance of us getting it out is pretty slim. Can you imagine that? How much it costs to get a car out of the impound? They're charging by the day, and the towing fees enormous to get go, you know? But I'm just saying, times changed, brother. Times changed. And that's all I'm pointing out, you know? And, yeah, shooting that 13-year-old kid, what was he doing out? We don't know why he was out. You know? We don't know. We can assume anything we want. But the biggest thing is, why did they kill him? You know? Should that cop kill him? Is he so damn scared that the minute he told the guy, put your hands up. He told the guy was following, he was obeying. He did what he was told and then got shot. So should we pity that cop? Or is that cop, should we justify what he did? To me, I don't think so. I don't think that kid should have held court on the streets for that kid. Regardless if he is out 2:30 in the morning, even if he had a damn machine gun. You know, this cop, if he was that kind of person and that so scared for his life, what was he doing being a cop?
Yeah.
You know, that's my point.
Yeah.
Is he so trigger happy that he tells the kid to raise his hand? When the kid raises his hand, he shoots him. I seen another video where this cop tells a guy, give me your, he opens the door of this black guy in North Carolina or something. The guy's in the, pulling in the gas station and he makes the guy open the door. He opened the door. It says, give me your ID. The guy's got his ID in his wallet. And as soon as he reaches for his wallet, that cop shot him 3 or 4 times.
Oh.
And the black guy says, sir, I was just getting my ID. He was still talking.
Oh.
Damn.
I mean, you know, is that what... is that's what kind of cops are out there. You know, they did that to me, told me get my ID, and then they, a woman cop shaking right in front with the gun right in my face, and the other cop pulled. I was standing there in scenic, or right across the res line in a place where I had no witness. And I said, I put my hands up. And he said, that other cop said, I said, get your ID. I said, you know what? You get it. If you want to shoot me with my hands up.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, they let me go. You know, I had a license. I had no reason to be stopped. After they calmed down and all that, they let me go. But look the threat I went through for that, you know? And yep. I'm telling the truth. I'm sitting here with my chanupa. I'm not making this story up. You know, this really happened to me. You know, and a lot of things happen. But these police have, they're trigger happy is my point. And they're racist from the start. Racism. Racism plays a big part. You know, it's like why they shot the bear and her two cubs. Because they're racist. The bears are automatically guilty and they killed them. You know? You know, because the bears an animal. Well, when those cops stopped me, I was an animal. When they stopped Indians coming off the rest, we're just animals. We're just wildlife. You know? And up there in Rapid City, those Indians walking around Rapid City getting spit on by white people because they're wildlife. We're just wildlife living in modern times. We don't get bothered if we try to like hell to look like them. If we get a high and tight Marine Corps haircut, put on some tight jeans, nice white socks, nice white tennis shoes, a striped t-shirt tucked in, and rock back and forth on our toes, then they might say this is a good engine, you know. But if they pull you over and you got hair on your head, looking raggedy, because we all look raggedy, you know, and most of us don't look good in clothes anymore anyway, you know, not in white man's clothes. If I had me some leggings on or something, I might fit in better, you know, but throw me in some, you know. I'm having to wear Dickies. You know how Dickies are? Big baggy pants,
yeah.
You know, to cover for my overweightness. You know, I'm having to wear Dickies, you know, and I don't wear them down. Then they got these young Indian kids wearing their pants down underneath their ass, trying to look like Asapa, like the black guys. That don't match. You know, that young kid they shot in that you're talking about, look how he was dressed. He looked like, to them, he is a hoodlum, but he's only 13 years old. You know? And me, I try not to look like a danger, but shit, I guess we just look like wildlife, you know, that's what we look like to them, wildlife, and that's what happens to us. So we have a extra threat out there in the world, and I'm just pointing that out tonight. We have some, you know, and what is my worst threat, you know, in my house over here right now, Tegmuga, you know? You know, that's my worst threat, a fly, you know? And, now flies are coming out, you know? So I'm killing innocent flies, you know? Don't give them a chance. You know, but killing humans is a different, strange thing. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
killing children, killing children is a stranger thing. And killing women is a strange thing. And the other thing, these young police officers, they don't have culture. So there's nobody that's an elder. They're going to beat your ass like they did that 72-year-old white lady. She had dementia. Do you know what dementia is?
Yeah.
She had dementia, so she couldn't communicate with them. And so the cops took that as an excuse to bang her around. She's drunk or whatever. She's not responding to their commands, you know. So they beat that woman up. Five cops beat her ass up. Broke her collarbone. They even made I wish I'd have had that article. They made fun of the pop. Pop, they said, you know. They're all proud they busted her bone. She's a white lady. These cops did that. And yeah, three of them resigned, you know. But why are they doing that? Where's the culture? You know, that Rick Santorum talking about the beautiful American culture. Where's the culture when you're when you're beating up older people, elderly? I mean, there's got to be a limit. Even what they did to Bill Cosby, I don't care what anybody says. You know, waiting 20 years till someone's elderly, then, you know. I mean, I don't agree with their system is my point. You know, when you're elderly, you know, of course, Joe Biden's elderly, you know. You know, so... But he's dropping bombs, you know, so I guess in their logic, everybody's a threat. There's some, you know, because in their logic, an elderly person is worse. You know, he'd drop an atomic bomb, a nuke, you know. Look at Trump, how old he was. You know, these guys are killers, you know. Them Washichu, when you get in their culture and custom. So I guess that's why they don't, they'll beat up an elder, because they look at their elders and say, oh, you know, an elder isn't an elder, it's just a regular people, you know. So that's why these cops will drag out. I seen a video where they drug out an old black woman. She looked like, you know, she had a scarf on her head. She had a hip problem, and they drug her out of the car, stomped her up, and then cuffed her and arrested her because she couldn't hear good. You know, she had a hearing aid and something was wrong with it. You know, they don't have respect for elders. So even though I'm an elder, maybe I think I look like an elder, I know they ain't giving me a break, you know. They're going to drag me out of a car like anybody else, and that's my point. And then right now, the gun violence, all the guns out there, who has the guns? Who's carrying the guns? And who can buy the guns? You know, who can buy the guns? The people who can buy guns are people that don't have a criminal record. Some of them, they found out they did, but too late. But they didn't have a bad criminal record. So all the people owning guns out there are people underneath the radar, but just as deadly. Why do you buy a gun?
Yeah.
Why do you buy a gun? A gun is to kill people. It ain't to go hunt deer. You know, they ain't buying deer rifles. They're buying guns, AR-15s, fancy. That guy who shot all the people in Colorado, he had a pistol that looked like a rifle. Some looked like an AR-15, but it was a pistol. I mean...
I have never seen anyone go out deer hunting with an AR-15.
Shoot.
Never.
You know what? I tell you what. Those weapons will slaughter an animal. You can't even eat it after they get done with them, you know? These guys ain't buying weapons to hunt. They're buying guns to kill people, to shoot people. And in their brain, they're justifying it, saying, well, I'm going to defend myself. That's why I have a gun. I have some friends have a gun, you know, have guns. But most of the ones I know don't tell nobody they have a gun, you know. But maybe they did buy it to protect themselves. But I don't see them running around looking for people to shoot either.
Yeah, that's true.
You go in these cities, there's white people, mostly white people, that don't break the law, so they buying guns, big gun sales, you know, and you know, they're out there ready to shoot a human. You know, that guy who killed those people in Colorado, he bought his weapon exclusively to massacre some people. That guy who shot all the people in Colorado again at the movie theater, he had his gun exclusively to go in and murder people in the theater. That's why these people bought those guns. All of them. The guy who killed all the Mexicans in El Paso at the Walmart or whatever that was.
Yeah.
He bought his weapon exclusively to kill people.
Yeah, all of these guys that did this, they bought the guns days before they did it.
Yep. But even though there's still people out there, they don't have the heart to shoot a gun, but they still have them. They're trying to build up the courage to shoot the gun. So whenever that courage builds up, somebody's getting shot with that gun. You know, maybe I'm wrong or whatever, but from what I seen, the gun, having a gun, why do people that own guns start growing hairy faces and start, a gun changes their whole demeanor, you know?
It's like
a person. I seen a nice guy buy a Harley. Suddenly, he looked like the rest of the Harley drivers. He didn't even look like the same guy I knew. He had rings on his nose. His grew hair. Boy, he started looking like any other biker. But when I knew him, I worked with him. He is a simple white guy. You know what I mean? You know, and
the
you know,
spirit
it's
that
just
stuff that takes over.
And look what Americans do. And it's just pointed out in the chat. The toy guns they sell. Boy, they got some badass toy guns, you know, light up, you know, machine gun sounds and everything for little 3 and 4 year olds to play with. They're already training their kids, you know. I mean, they're training their kids, you know. I don't buy my kids guns and stuff. I buy them like trucks and cars and, you know, toy cars and stuff. My dad never bought me a gun. He bought me boxing gloves. Me and my brother boxing gloves, punching bags. Well, he knew what we was in for. But you see, the culture, it's like Halloween. You know, somebody was saying, you know, and I always don't mention names, but you come from another country and come over here and see Halloween. And we went to a store and some kids ran out with bloody hands and bloody heads and stuff at the Halloween store. And they couldn't believe they sell that stuff. What is with America? Why are they into all this evil, you know, stuff they sell on Halloween, you know? And I was thinking about putting myself in that logic, and that's right. Why is a kid running out the store with a bloody hand he bought for Halloween?
Yeah.
You know? Why is he coming out with a Freddy Krueger mask? You know, or Texas Chainsaw guy. You know, why is this? It's all set up for murder and violence. You know, and they got the kids singing the Star Spangled Banner, teaching them right away that to make sure when you turn 16 or 18, go in the military. And you get a haul of M16 or some kind of weapon. You know, go in there and you get a dress, you know. You know what? I never played with army. Remember those army toys they sold?
Yeah.
And tanks and stuff like that. I never did that. I never had them kind of toys. But our youngest brother, here I am talking about my personal family again. He had all these G.I. Joes and all these military toys, man. You had to walk across a field to get to my house in California back in the day. It's not like that anymore. But that field, he had foxholes dug up out there. And he used to sit out there with helmets and you know, and he played Army all the time. Well, what happened? He retired from the military. He was in Iraq. He was in Panama. And to the American, he served the Americans. But the problem with that is today, you know, and like a lot of other people, is having a family life. He never had no children. And he's never had no relationship because the minute he sits down to talk with anybody, he's talking about war, weapons, tanks, you know, deployments and this and that. Women don't want to hear that stuff. He asked me about that. I said, well, quit talking about tanks and army and rockets and machine guns and Huey helicopters and this. Quit talking about it. Put that shit in the past. But he won't. You know, I went one time. He came visit and went down to another cousin's house who was in Iraq. And these two guys sat there, and I was sitting in the room with them. And all they talked about was the military, weapons, Iraq, and all this. Even his woman, my cousin's woman, everybody left the room. I was stuck in there with them. But they acted like I was never in the military. They thought it was only them two, just them two, because they live in these modern times where this way of life is glorified. When in the life that I lived in a time when nobody glorified this. My father never talked about being a Korean vet, World War II vet. My uncles, I'm named after an uncle died in Korea. You know, those people back then never ran around talking about this stuff. And nowadays, you visit one of these guys and his mouth is going to start rambling. He ain't going to shut up. And they're only going to talk about that stuff. And most of the time they're bullshitting. They're maybe they seen two or three bombs drop, but they say it's 50 bombs. Maybe they got shot at one time. But, oh, we are getting shot at all the time. You know, when to me, from my life and experience, you don't talk about these things because that life is dangerous. You don't want to live that life.
Now that I think about it, Wombly, you know, my dad never talked about his time in the Navy either. I mean,
He would tell us
about them going out drinking and the fights that they got into, but he never mentioned anything really about his service.
Yeah, same way with my dad. My dad never even, he got shot twice. I looked on the internet. He got shot. They fixed him up, sent him back out to the battlefield. He was a medic, you know? I have a lot of other, my Uncle John was one of the guys who MacArthur left in the Philippines. The military just abandoned a whole bunch of soldiers in the Philippines and took off. MacArthur went to Australia. They all took off and left about 60, a whole battalion, or I don't know how much of, maybe not that big, but of military in the Philippines. They were stuck. So some of these guys they were sneaking around, hiding from the Japanese and trying to mingle in with the Filipinos. And I guess my uncle did pretty good with that, because being a Lakota, he looked like probably like another tall Filipino to them, you know. But he never talked about it. What he talked about was, like you said, he was in Pearl Harbor when it got bombed. When they bombed Pearl Harbor, he said, I was partying over there. He was talking about with his friends, and all of a sudden they seen these planes fly over with that setting sun, or the one the Japs used. They were looking, and he said, they was bombing, you know? And that's all he said. I said, Lexi, what kind of woman was he with? You know, they was bragging about the women, you know. That's mostly what they talked about, you know. Not really bragging, but, you know. But they never talked about their war, their events. My uncle, my dad, none of them. When they got home, they never talked to nobody about it. But this new age, veterans, they run around with these veteran caps. They run around. They want everybody to know they're a veteran. They want everybody to know. And that's their status in life. You know, that's their medallion to be a man. But we went and buried one of my uncles in Winter one time, one of my mom's cousins. And they put his uniform on him when they buried him. And I was looking. He only had two medals on his chest, and he was just a PFC, an E2. You know, and I was looking at that, you know. I said, that made me proud of my uncle, because I said, shit, at least I know he was no ass kisser, because he only made it to PFC, you know. To get up in rank in the military, 9 times out of 10, you have to really be sucking some kind of ass. You can't just be normal, because you ain't going to get rank. You can get rank from time. The longer time you're in, you know. You know, I remember they made me a Lance Corporal, but the reason why they made me a Lance Corporal was because the chaplain pulled me in and wanted me to be his assistant. In other words, I was his bodyguard. So when I was his assistant, he demanded that I have some rank. So they made me a Lance Corporal, because I had already been in for a couple of years, you know, or going on a couple of years. So to be his bodyguard or his assistant, I had to have some status, you know. Of course I lost that Lance Corporal status. You know, it wasn't long after, too. You know, but you see, to get status in there, you have to, to be a sergeant or a NCO, it takes at least 3-4 years and another enlistment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, what did you get out as, Philip?
Private.
See? There it is there, you know.
Bravo.
That's a typical story, you know. Same way with me. Went up in rank but lost it, you know. You're kicking some ass. You know. And to get up into be a sergeant or NCO, you have to really be into that system, you know. You got to always be marching, you know, and like on guard duty. Yeah, we did guard duty, walking around the armory, stuff like that. But you see a guy who's really into it, boy, he's marching on guard duty. Left, right.
You know, I've seen
doing a perfect about face and coming back around, you know. And then you see the lowlifes like me just walk around. Just walk around it, you know.
The whole thing is that it's nighttime and nobody's around to see this, and they still walk like that. They still march like that. Like somebody's watching them. Like. If I'm I'll get a rank.
Oh, wow. You know what? We're already running out of time. I can't believe this. And Jennifer never even said nothing. Jennifer.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
Hi, Jennifer.
You want to give us any last comments? Damn, I can't believe the time flew here.
Good topics tonight. Thank you for sharing everything. Time does fly. I just posted two articles in regards to the COVID immune system. And I've been saying from the get-go about boosting your immune system before you even have COVID symptoms at all. And now they're saying that our immune system is mutating as well in the new variants. So I don't understand all this need to get the COVID shot because, well, for me, I'm just lucky that I'm, I have the culture and I just have our own way of with medicines and going into ceremonies and taking care of that. And the other article had to do with police brutality statistics show that men are more likely to be imprisoned 4 times higher than the average, and women, surprisingly, Native women, is 6 times higher, which I find interesting as well. But we got a long way to go for equal justice.
Yeah, but you know, some of the Indian women went to prison for baloney. Baloney. One went to prison for copying videos and selling them, you know, making money copying movie videos. And maybe she didn't copy them. We get shuffled videos around the rest when we're in the videos. And a lot of them were copied videos. We don't care who the hell they came from as long as it's a movie, you know. And for food stamp fraud, I mean, a bunch of Rudy put crimes that they send Indian women to prison for, you know, even selling kamats, you know, they send Indian women to prison for anything. And the Indian men, if you hit somebody on the res and get in a fist fight, you go to federal prison. And off the res, they might call it simple assault, you know. Anyway, we got to go now. Any last comment, Philip?
Just that I've been, I had a video conference with an organization here in the state about land back usage, or at least land usage for our our community here in Ohio. So to that person that says that, made the comment that I don't do anything for our people here in the state, stuff it.
Yeah. Don't say shut up, say shut up. All right. Hey, but we got to go now, so sorry. Time flew again. Here we are. Doksha ke, everybody.
Train going in from Fargo, carrying my mother back to me. She died last week outside of Fargo, victim of her country's apathy. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No done. No, no more pain and no more sorrow. Don't you know that you have won? Yeah, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles to go home. And through the never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Yeah, hey, 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 hey. Ooh, 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 ooh. Oh, oh, oh. More miles.